Good morning. Let's open up with prayer. We'll get going here in chapter 9 of Judges. Father, thank you for this time to be together. Thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters that are all gathered here to study your word. Father, I pray that you'll reveal yourself to us once again, that you'll speak to us through your word, and you'll plant that word in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. We got as far as verse 6 of chapter 9 of Judges last week. And remember, we were talking about Abimelech. He was the son of Gideon, or Jerubbabel, as he's called in chapter 9. And he was not the son of one of Gideon's wives. Gideon had 70 sons by his wives, but he was the son of a concubine that he had in Shechem. And how Abimelech went and allied himself with the leaders of Shechem, and how they made him king at the Terebinth there between Ebal and Gilead in the valley where Shechem was, and also where the pillar or the altar that had been built first by Abraham, then by Jacob, and then by Joshua and the children of Israel when they came into the Promised Land. And basically what he did was he usurped God's authority, and the men of Shechem made him king. Instead of they rebelled against God, they made him their king, and almost as if to get God's blessing in it, they did this coronation there at this altar that had been built some 300 years earlier when they came into the Promised Land. Kind of like some people may do now, where they've got something that they're doing that they know is wrong, that they know God has told them not to do, that they know goes against the Word, but they'll go to church and try to get His blessing on it anyway. It's not an unusual thing. So that's kind of the thing that they're doing here. Now, when we get into verse 7, and I'm supposing that y'all have read on through the rest of chapter 9, but let's read here, starting at verse 7 through 22 or 23. Now, when they told Jotam, now remember, Jotam was the youngest son of Gideon, who escaped being murdered. Now, when they told Jotam, he went and stood on top of Mount Gerizim, lifted up his voice, called out and said to them, "Listen to me, O lords of Shechem, that God may listen to you. Once the trees set out..." Now, what he's going to go through here, this thing about the trees, is kind of... It's a parable in some ways, but it's also prophetic. "Listen to me, O lords of Shechem, that God may listen to you. Once the trees set out to anoint a king over them. So they said to the olive tree, 'Reign over us.' But the olive tree said to them, 'Should I stop yielding my oil that honors God and man and go wave over the trees?' Then the tree said to the fig tree, 'You come and reign over us.' But the fig tree said to them, 'Should I stop yielding my sweetness and my delicious fruit and go wave over the trees?' So the tree said to the vine, 'You come and reign over us.' But the vine said to them, 'Should I stop yielding my new wine, which cheers God and man, and go wave over the trees?' Then all the trees said to the bramble, 'You come reign over us.' And the bramble said to the trees, 'If you truly are going to anoint me king over you, then come and take refuge in my shadow. But if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. So now, if you have acted in truth and integrity by making Abimelech king, and if you have dealt kindly with Jerubbabel and his household, and have done for him as he deserved, for my father fought for you and risked his life and delivered you from the hands of Midian, but you have risen up against my father's household today and have slain his sons, 70 men on one stone, and have made Abimelech, son of his maidservant, king over the lords of Shechem, just because he is your brother. If you have dealt in truth and integrity with Jerubbabel and with his household today, then rejoice with Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the lords of Shechem and Beth Milo, and let fire come out from the lords of Shechem and Beth Milo and devour Abimelech. Then Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and remained there because of his brother Abimelech. After Abimelech had ruled over Israel for 3 years, God sent an evil spirit in between Abimelech and the lords of Shechem. So the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. Okay, let's go back to the trees here. It's an interesting parable, and like I said, it's both a parable and a prophecy. And he talks about the trees, and he's got three main trees that he talks about here, right? Okay, he's got the olive tree, he's got the fig tree, and he's got the vine, and then at the end he's got the bramble. Now, I think the best way to interpret this, well, there's a couple of ways. The bramble, of course, we're going to find out what it's like to have a, they're going to find out what it's like to have a bramble for a king. But before all of this, you've got the three trees before this, the olive, the fig, and the vine. These you can say somewhat represent judges that have come before. Because remember, this is not, Abimelech is not the first time they've tried to make somebody king over them, right? They said the same thing to his father. They wanted to make him king, and he said no. They only had one king, and that was God. The judges that came before, when they would try to make them king over them, they would refuse to take the position. And the reason they would refuse to take position is because it wasn't their position to take. It wasn't what they had been created to be. Just like the trees, just like the olive tree and the vine and the fig tree, those trees were made to bring glory to God and to provide for man. Okay? The judges were put there to bring glory to God and to provide for the men of it and the people of Israel. That was their position. That was what they were created to be. They were not created to be a king. And sometimes it's hard for us to understand the when we read through this, the severity of, like we talked about last week, the severity of what's going on here. And it's because we really don't get the whole kingdom thing. And then with a kingdom, there is one king. Things are not made, decisions are not made by consensus or vote or the will of the people. It is decisions and things are done by the will of the king. Everyone in the kingdom serves the king. Everyone in the kingdom has a reason that they are there. They have a purpose, but that purpose is not to be the king. It doesn't mean that they got a bad deal. It just means that's not their purpose. Their purpose is not to be the king. What the men of Shechem have done here, and the reason this is so bad, and Samuel really points it out well later on in 1 Samuel with Saul, when he tells Saul, after Saul has gone and made a sacrifice to God, which he was not allowed to do, and then spared the lives of Agag and some of the Agagites, which he was not supposed to do after he disobeyed God. And Samuel tells him that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Okay, what is going on here is rebellion, and why is this so bad? Where have we seen this exact same thing happen before? In heaven. In heaven. This is the exact thing that happened with Satan. Satan said, I will ascend on high. I will become king. I will become as God. Right? Satan said, I'm not satisfied with the position I've got. I want his spot. I want to be God. And the demons that were cast out with him were much like the men of Shechem. And they said, we don't want God. We're going to go with him. So it's the exact same thing repeated over. We look at this and lots of times people will read on through chapter 9 and will go, wow, that was pretty serious just for that. Well, no, it's not serious, and it's not a just for that. It is the exact same sin as Satan. Refusing to be in God's kingdom and wanting to usurp God's power and become king yourself or place another in that spot. That's why this is such a bad thing. So we have these trees that he talks about. What is the difference between the three trees, the vine, the olive, and the fig, and the bramble? Well, it has fruit. The thorns are its fruit. Okay, the vine, the olive, and the bramble were all created by God, and they were all created to be something good. Brambles and thorns don't show up till Genesis chapter 3. Brambles and thorns are all the result of sin. You had no brambles before chapter 3 in Genesis. So the bramble is it's a parable of what becomes of something when sin is introduced. Okay, it's bad fruit. Interesting that they picked the bad fruit. So they go with this, and he speaks to them, and he says what he says starting in chapter 6, and I'm sorry, verse 16 through 20, is similar to what Joshua said to them when they came into the promised land, when he reminded them of what God had done and serving God, and how if you serve God, then this will happen. If you don't serve God, then this will happen. It's sort of similar to that. He says, if you've dealt rightly with the house of Jeroboam, if you've done what you're supposed to, then may God's blessing be on you. But if you haven't, then may fire come out from him and may fire come out for you. You're going to devour each other. And that's exactly what is going to happen here. Now, verse 22, he runs away in 21. And then you have verse 22. After Abimelech had ruled over Israel for 3 years, so he's there for 3 years, God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the lords of Shechem. So the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. Anybody have a problem with that verse? God sending an evil spirit? Really, nobody? You just don't want to say it out loud? You just don't want to say it out loud, probably, because a lot of people do have a problem. It's a tough thing. It's a tough thing to deal with. But it is not the only time that God does something like this. God is God over everything. Okay? Over heaven, earth, and hell, God is all-powerful. God controls everything. And so, what we see here, and we see it in other places too, God actually using Satan and his demons to fulfill his will. Now, this can be difficult because just on the face value of it, you say, well, God sent an evil spirit, and so they had no say in what they did. But that's not true. They did have a say in what they did. We see God do this where he actually uses an evil spirit. He sends an evil spirit to somebody to do something. He sends it to Samuel Saul in First Samuel 16:14, after Saul has disobeyed God twice in a row, and he removes his spirit from him and then sends an evil spirit to torment Saul. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 5:5 and also in 1 Timothy 1:20 where he talks about turning someone over to Satan. And it's when God does this, it is always almost the last resort. And it is meant to drive man to repentance. we can get this confused sometimes, or the reason we have a hard time with it sometimes is because if you go to James chapter 1, verse 13, when anyone's tempted, let no man should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But if you go on, it says, but we sin when we give way to our own evil desires. Okay? Everyone has a choice. Even if God in his wisdom sends an evil spirit to do something to afflict someone, it's in an effort to get them to turn from what they're doing. It's much like the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15. God will do the same thing the father did in the prodigal with the prodigal son in Luke 15. When we go over and over and over and we say, no, I don't want you, 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 I want this, you finally say, okay, here it is, you can have it. Now let's see what you do with it. And it's not in an effort to cast you out, to put that final nail in your coffin, but as with the prodigal son, it's in an effort to put you in a situation where you've had what you wanted, and you realize that's not really what you needed, and you finally turn and come back to him. And we see it in its ultimate fulfillment at the end of the age when the sheep and the goats are separated. People will go into hell of their own volition because they've spent a lifetime saying, rejecting God, saying, I don't want you. I want what I want. I don't want you to be king just like this. I want my own kingdom. And God finally says, okay. But before that time, he will do whatever he has to do to drive us back. And that's we'll see it over and over again in Judges. And we'll see it, and you see it all through the history of Israel. And ultimately, we see it in the Messiah himself, where, you know the old saying, you got to break a few eggs to make a cake? Well, sometimes throughout Israel's history, God breaks a few eggs to save a nation. The Abimelech and the lords of Shechem will get, well, Abimelech will actually get his egg broken, but Abimelech and the lords of Shechem will feel God's wrath on them, will experience his judgment in order that Israel will be saved. Otherwise, they would have continued on with this king that they had chosen for themselves and gone further and further and further away from God. So, after Abimelech had ruled over Israel for 3 years, God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the lords of Shechem. So the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech in order that the violence done to Jerubbaal's 70 sons might come due, so their blood might be laid on their brother Abimelech, who slew them, and the lords of Shechem, who strengthened his hands to slay his brothers. Remember, he wouldn't have gone and done that if he hadn't been backed by Shechem. He made sure that he had his ducks in a row with them first before he went and killed his brothers. So they're part and parcel into this whole thing. So judgment will be carried out on them. The interesting thing about when God sends his judgment is, well, for me, we read through this and you get to the end of chapter 9, you're like, yeah, you got him. I am guilty of really wanting to see God's righteous judgment done everywhere but with me. Because I scream for mercy. So let's not get too excited over what happens here with them. We will pick back up here at verse 25 in chapter 9 next week, and we'll go through, we'll finish chapter 9 and see the rest of what happens and how this plays out. And remember, they're tempted to do certain things, but they make the choice to do it. It's the nature that they, it's their own nature that they already displayed here in the beginning of chapter 9 that's actually going to play out. And then when we'll hit into chapter 10 and 11. Have you noticed a pattern yet in Judges? And how actually it gets worse and worse as time goes on. Also, the neat thing about, or not neat thing, but the interesting thing about chapter 9 is now you see judgment coming not from an outside invading force coming in, like we had with the Midianites and all the others, but now actually they've gotten so bad that they're judging themselves. They've gotten so bad that they are turning in on themselves. And it will play out, even with invading forces coming in from the outside, that will be in the mix from here on out to the rest of Judges. And ultimately, we'll see it come to fruition when they select Samuel, or Saul, I get the, they're in the same book, Saul as their king. All right, so next week we'll start on 25.